John here, and we've got a new sponsor, DistroKid. Now that you've finished your latest Pirate Math SpongeCore Twitch track, it's time to get it out there so everyone can hear it. DistroKid helps musicians get their music on all the major streaming platforms, and artists keep 100% of their royalties. And because you're a high-gain listener, you get 30% off. Just go to distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. That's distrokid.com/VIP/high-gain. And now DistroKid has an app. The DistroKid app is available for iOS and Android. You can download it at distrokid.com/app or in the app and Play stores. We'd like to take a minute to thank our pals over at Isotope, makers of software and plugins for audio repair, mixing, and mastering. The new gold standard of audio repair, Isotope RX11, is coming in May. Buy RX10 now on sale and get RX11 absolutely free when it's released. We use Isotope products here at the High Gain. It's an important part of how we've been able to bottle pure podcast gold week after week. High Gain listeners get 10% off using the promo code FRET10. That's FRET10. That's all at isotope.com. IZOTOPE.com.
Hey, it's me, Ed Peterson.
Hi, Ed. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, John. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good.
John Kilteca?
Yeah, that's
right. Of the High Gain Podcast?
Yeah.
We record in beautiful West Seattle?
Yes, we do.
Yeah. What do we talk about?
We talk about guitars.
We talk exclusively about acoustic guitars these days.
A little bit more than normal. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess it's the thing where we've done so many electric guitars that, you know, we walk into the store and it's like, well, what are we going to do?
Maybe it's not that we're running out of things. We are expanding our palette. We are more open
to the grandpa guitars,
to other things than we might have been in the past.
Maybe.
I am.
Yeah?
I like all kinds of instruments, Ed. All kinds of guitar and guitar-related activities.
Same. Yeah. Walk into Thunder Road Guitars.
ThunderRoadGuitars.com?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at the inventory and the number of models of electrics that we haven't done.
Is shrinking.
Yes. 5+ years in and we've hit a lot.
We've hit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We like to try to tell, if not super compelling stories, then at least some cool facts. Sometimes with maybe more off the beaten track brands.
Sure.
We feel as though there is not enough to report to you that would make an interesting story.
I would love if we could spend a year doing just nothing but boutique, small batch guitars, but they're just hard to get.
Yeah.
We've had quite a few of those folks on, but yeah, they tend to take more work to get those guitars.
We've been really lucky that we've had great boutique makers willing to send us an instrument and trust us to send it back in one piece.
Yeah,
that's if you're nice. One of them, you know, get in touch, whatever.
Sure.
We can work it out.
Yeah. Speaking of weird boutique-y things, oh, you've got a Harmony.
I've got a Harmony.
Yeah.
From the Chicago Boys.
Yep.
From the 1960s. But this is an entirely different discussion we're going to have today.
Yeah.
Do you know anything about Baxendale?
0% Baxendale information in my thinking brain.
This is called a Baxendale conversion.
Okay.
Guitar.
Beverages.
Beverages, Ed, yes.
Kind of a staccato-y something.
Yeah.
You know?
Somebody recently on our Patreon page.
Yeah.
Was it Patreon or Instagram? One of those places. Somebody asked me about the chord, and I sent them a little chord chart.
Yeah. It's one of those like, oh, that's what that is. It's one of those chords. Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah, I think the easiest way to explain it is anybody that knows that E chord from Purple Haze. You know that one?
Yeah.
Just move your pinky down one fret and you got it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm drinking coffee.
Yeah, me too. I got it in a crow mug.
Of course you do.
You got it in a kitty cat mug.
I do. I got this at the Christmas party, the white elephant.
Yeah.
It's got three kitty cats wearing ugly Christmas sweaters on it.
So great.
This is very enjoyable.
John likes to have fun, you know, drink out of a kitty cat mug.
Yeah. I'm whimsical that way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's what everyone says.
Yeah.
I got 16 ounces of Minor Figures Barista Oat Milk Light and a scoop of Huel Protein Powder.
You always say the oat milk first.
Mm-hmm.
So is this an oat milk beverage with a little bit of protein powder in it? Or is this essentially a protein drink?
It's a little of both. You could make this with just water and protein powder.
Then it would be a protein drink?
Yeah, I guess so. But I find that a little not great. Oat milk just adds a little something.
So maybe we say, oh, Ed's drinking oat milk today. And he has put a little bit of protein powder in it.
If you look at your macros on this thing, protein is the highest macro. I have more protein in this than carbs or fat.
I love looking at macros.
Yeah. You got to study those, John.
Yeah.
Garbage in, garbage out kind of thing.
That's me.
You got a secondary drink?
Again, I have the light footprint, low calorie deliciousness of a Simply Lemonade.
It's summer. You got to have your lemonade. You should sit out on the front porch with your glass of lemonade, all old man style.
Yeah, just randomly yell out things like, hey, slow down.
Exactly.
There was a festival here in beautiful West Seattle.
The Street Fest.
Yeah, where they have food and art and bands playing and all kinds of stuff. They close down the streets, the whole nine yards.
Yep.
Our little street is not very long and it's a dead end.
Yep.
So when somebody drives into the street looking for parking, they get all the way to the end before they realize it's a dead end. And they go to back up, but there's 10 other cars behind them that have followed them thinking, ooh, that's a good
parking
street.
Yeah.
And now nobody can back up.
Right.
They're all blocked in by each other.
Yep. And John sits there on the porch just
laughing. Yeah.
With your lemonade.
Yeah.
Because it's whimsical.
What is your general impression of the tone of this guitar, Ed?
That is a solid sounding acoustic guitar.
Yes.
This sounds great. Sure.
As I mentioned, this is a Harmony from the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
That has had the Baxendale conversion performed on it.
I don't know what that means.
I'm going to help you out with that, Ed.
Okay.
Scott Baxendale, old Scott, born in 1954 and is still alive.
Love it.
Isn't that great?
You know what?
What?
I think we did an episode and we talked about no end of people, and I don't think we played the dong sound once.
We'll have to have an episode where we catch up on that.
Just fire a couple of dongs off. This is not for Scott Baxendale.
We'll call this compensatory dong. Compensatory post-dong. Okay.
Yes. Thank you.
We're righting the wrongs of history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So Scott drops out of college.
Sure.
In the early 70s, like I guess a lot of people might have done.
Why not?
It was a complicated time.
Yeah.
And he goes to work for a guy named Stuart Mossman.
Oh, we lost Stuart?
We lost Stuart.
Okay.
In 1999.
Okay.
Stuart Mossman made Mossman guitars, and they were great.
I don't know much about those.
Acoustic guitars.
Uh-huh.
Back in 74. Uh-huh. It would have been the idea of a boutique guitar before that kind of industry and all the hype around it came into being. Even the first Hamers and Dean Electrics weren't till the late 70s.
Right.
This guy was doing that.
The internet allows some of those people to go on Instagram and post pictures of their guitar and actually build a boutique audience. How'd you do that in the 70s? How did you get your guitar in anyone's hands back then? Trade publication?
Hauling them around?
Exactly. Going to NAMM, I guess.
But Scott Baxendale figures he's going to go learn from Mossman.
It was a trade school under a dude who taught him how to do a thing. And that's as valuable as 4 years in a university.
I agree.
Yeah.
And what Scott would have learned from Mr. Mossman apparently was invaluable, because the journey Scott has taken is very unique, I think.
Okay.
Once he leaves Mossman, he goes to Nashville and he joins Grün Guitars, specializing in the restoration of vintage instruments.
In like a retail store.
Yeah, Grün has the shop for that kind of thing.
Yeah.
To give you an idea, he worked on Johnny Cash's guitars. He worked on Hank Williams Jr.'s guitars. Elvis Costello.
No.
He ended up being responsible for the care and maintenance of Roy Acuff's Grand Ole Opry Museum collection.
Did we lose him?
Yeah.
Oh.
In 1985, Scott gets the opportunity to buy Mossman Guitars.
Oh.
And so Scott buys it.
Mm-hmm.
And he moves the whole thing to Garland, Texas. This is very full sounding.
Mookie Blaylock is from Garland, Texas. NBA player, Mookie.
Baseball guy? Basketball. Sports ball.
Basketball. Yeah.
Cool. Well, in Garland, Texas, Scott is now making his own guitars under his own name. While there, he built about 250 guitars.
Okay.
For Carl Perkins, Joe Walsh.
Oh.
Willie Nelson, John Mellencamp. People at this point.
That's some names.
They're right. Knowing who Scott Baxendale is.
Okay, cool.
He even gets commissioned by the Hard Rock Cafe to build two bars, 30-foot long bars.
Yeah.
In the shape of a Stratocaster and a Les Paul.
Okay.
So he does it, but he decides that he's going to do it differently. He's going to use the same custom finishes as the originals. So can you imagine a guitar-shaped bar finished in nitrocellulose lacquer?
Those finishes by now might be really cool.
They, I guess, were suitably impressed because then they asked him to become responsible for kind of maintenance repair of the Hard Rock Cafe's private collection of guitars.
Oh.
I did not know they had a big collection. I know that there's ones on the walls and stuff, but I guess they have like really fancy ones.
Yeah, like legit.
Jimi Hendrix's black Gibson Flying V.
So wild.
They've got Elvis Presley's Sunburst Gibson Super 400. They have Buddy Holly's 1957 Stratocaster. And they have John Lennon's Rickenbacker.
Isn't that wild?
But our man Scott,
he
is what you might call peripatetic.
Oh.
Given to moving a lot. Moves around a lot.
Oh, okay.
So if you're keeping track at home.
Yeah.
He starts with Mossman. By the way, that was in Kansas.
Oh, okay.
He went to Grün in Nashville.
Yep.
Then went to Texas.
Garland, Texas.
Yeah. 1998, now he's in Denver, Colorado.
Okay.
He opens up the Colfax Guitar Shop. He's building custom guitars now.
Is this guitar retail and he's building, or?
As far as I know, it's just a build shop.
Okay.
Still doing restorations. Because I guess he's really good at that.
Mm-hmm.
With his custom guitars, his idea is to take the best design elements of what was happening pre-World War II with Gibson and Martin and the like, and incorporate those into his own new designs. He wanted people to get one of his custom acoustics and have it sound right out of the case like an old pre-war instrument. And I guess he did pretty well, because the list is really long. The Vines, Jason Isbell.
Okay.
And the Drive-By Trucker guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Mick Jones from The Clash.
Sure.
Cracker.
Huh.
There were people lined up for his guitars.
Huh.
In 2010.
Getting up into the now times.
Yeah. He sells Colfax Guitar Shop and relocates to, where's he going now, Ed?
Let's see. We've got Kansas, Garland, Texas, home of Mookie Blaylock.
Yes.
We have Nashville. We have Denver, Colorado.
Where's he going now?
I could almost see a SoCal move in this guy's future, but I'm going to say Salt Lake City, Utah.
I think that's a good guess for its randomness.
Yeah.
But no, Athens, Georgia.
Oh, great. Okay.
He forms Baxendale Guitars.
How cool do you think Athens, Georgia is today. I bet it's just cool as hell.
Maybe.
I bet it's been cool as hell since REM. God damn, I bet that city's just rad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. One of the things he starts doing in Athens is what he calls these conversions.
Okay.
He thinks he knows enough about restoring old guitars and building new ones that he can make great sounding guitars out of these old Chicago boy instruments for less money for people. They're going to get a guitar that sounds great, but it's going to look like an old Chicago boy instrument, and maybe they can take it out on tour and not have to worry about if something happens to it. Win-win. What that means is he takes it apart, completely apart. He takes the back off, he takes the top off, he takes the neck off, and he replanes the fretboard, he refrets it, he rebinds it where applicable. The body, he takes all the bracing out of it, top and bottom, and redoes it. He makes a new bridge, a new bridge plate underneath, puts the whole body back together, modifies the neck, and resets it so the action is nice and low and sounds great, and there you have it. So now you've got a guitar that's braced in a way that sounds like an actual good guitar with braces made out of not cardboard.
That is wild as hell.
When's the last time you played a harmony?
Yeah.
That sounds like that.
I mean, I get that material cost is a thing, but that almost seems like more work than just building the damn thing from scratch. Clearly I'm wrong, and I have no idea how building a guitar actually works, but just taking that thing apart carefully enough that you can reassemble it and not have the body just crack, that seems wild to me.
The best restoration guys do it all the time.
That's so crazy.
Remember we talked about the Martin Electric acoustic that Kurt Cobain used on MTV Unplugged?
Yeah.
And how a certain amount of those that had holes cut in the top for pickups were converted to solid tops?
Oh, right.
God, I don't want these pickups in this Martin. Take the top off, put a regular one on it, and now I have a regular D28.
Do you steam it off? Like, what do you do?
Yeah. They were using rabbit hide glue or something like that. It's easy to steam it up.
Man.
And one of the things he was doing in Athens, Georgia, with these conversions was teaching people.
Paying it forward.
Yeah, you could come and he'll teach it to you. You pay and learn from him.
That's cool.
I thought this was interesting. The way he was getting all these guitars, that could be a full-time job going around looking for old crappy harmonies and silver tones. And he made it known that, hey, if you can find six of these in any condition, I don't care what you paid for them, give them to me and I'll give you one back completely refurbished.
That's killer.
Go to garage sales till you have six of these, send them to him, and he'll send one back in perfect playing condition.
That's crazy. That's so cool.
Does he still do that? Good question.
That is a good question, John. Yeah. Do you have the answer?
No.
Okay, cool.
Okay, where's he going next, Ed?
He's moving again?
You can't hold Scott down.
He's leaving Athens?
He's leaving Athens. This move?
Uh-huh.
The now time, 2023.
Oh, now.
Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Great.
He is merging. There's a company called Stay Gold Guitars.
Stay Gold, Pony Boy.
Exactly. And now he's going to be doing primarily the conversions. In fact, and this really had me interested, Ed, you know, for when I win the lottery.
Oh.
The Baxendale Conversions Luthier Academy.
Yeah.
You go to Santa Fe.
Uh-huh.
That's a plus right there.
Okay, yeah. Isn't Santa Fe one of those hippie kind of things where like the crystals and the energy get you real good?
I think it used to be.
Is it not that anymore? StayGoldGuitars.com.
Yeah.
There's a picture of one of these conversions on a Roy Smek guitar, a Harmony Roy Smek that we just recently did.
Yeah.
Completely taken apart. That's cool as hell.
Here's how it works, and there's several interesting things about it.
The school.
Yeah.
Okay.
You sign up. You go down there for 6 months.
6 months.
Every day, 5 days a week.
Okay.
He starts out with 2 3-quarter sized Stella guitars.
Mm-hmm.
He demos on one while you are copying everything he does on the other.
Okay.
By the time you're done, though, not only will you have done it to that Stella, you will have done it multiple times. He estimates that you will have done in 6 months 20 neck resets, 20 refrets, and built from scratch 20 new bridges and saddles.
That's wild.
Not only that, once you do that,
yeah,
he sets you to work on customer guitars.
I love it.
In fact, this one I have in here on the label says student guitar number 3.
Wow, cool.
So this was made by a student, and I think they did a great job, especially since...
Oh, the neck was cracked.
There's
Holy
a
shit.
Brutal snap on the neck.
Wow.
And it's completely repaired.
I picked that thing up and played it. Didn't look at the back of the neck. Did not feel that.
Yeah.
Played up and down the neck, and that thing was snapped in half. Midway down the neck, not at the headstock.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? He's teaching people how to do all of this.
You can sign up for the training academy. $12,000 for a 6 month course seems incredibly reasonable to me. I might be crazy.
Presumably, you have to buy your own tools and he'll tell you what tools you need to buy.
Sure.
And then rent somewhere?
I don't know. Santa Fe? The hippies?
They'll take you in.
They'll hook you up. The energy is so good down there.
He's probably got a network, a hippie network.
That's what I'm saying. Weird cowboy hippies. Let's move to Santa Fe is where I'm going with this, John. You sell this house. You sell all your guitars, all your amplifiers. You pack up Jimmy. Go to Santa Fe for 6 months.
Okay.
Tell me the downsides of any of this plan. We learn guitar manufacturing.
Remanufacturing, he calls it.
So there's no straight up construction.
No, you're learning how to do this. But okay. Can you imagine? If you learn how to do it really well, every guitar you find in Goodwill
is suddenly an amazing guitar.
Yeah. And I guess once you get to learn the different models from the Chicago boys, you'll know which ones to keep an eye out for.
Yeah. It would be fun as hell. And the thing is, you have a baseline of understanding what a saw is.
That's true.
I am not very handy, and I feel like my attention to detail would need a lot of work.
Okay, hippie desert energy guitar remanufacturing.
Yes. Are we doing it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably not.
Oh.
You gotta try it. Try and decide. Is it hello or goodbye? Buy or deny.
The Chicago boys made this thing.
Yeah.
In the 60s with a maximum of speed and a minimum of premium ingredients.
Sure. Yeah.
The Harmony Baxendale conversion.
Yeah.
Buy or deny.
Here's the thing that I think about this guitar.
Yes.
There's this whole underground network thing of dudes who get like a 1998 Honda Civic, right? Like just some beater car. And then they throw thousands of dollars in them.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what this guitar is.
And to you, is that?
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I want a 60s Harmony that plays like a 40s Martin.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a buy. To the point that I'm ready to move to Santa Fe.
It's never too late to reinvent yourself.
That's what our guy Baxendale has learned.
That's right.
No end of moving around. The only problem is, of course, we get to Santa Fe and there's just a sign on the shop window that says, sorry, move to Anchorage, Alaska. You know, what are the odds he's still going to be there when we show up?
Yeah.
You know, that's the only bummer.
It's a buy for me too.
Yeah.
I really like this.
I think it's cool.
I'm going to take lots of pictures of this one because that's what we do.
Yeah.
You know,
could we get an Adobe house when we move down there?
Or make one of those ones out of empty Coke bottles?
I guess.
A dome?
A Coke bottle dome? I think I'd rather have an Adobe house.
The ones they make out of used tires and then cover with Adobe?
Like that. Can we get one of those?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, we'll take the pictures. We'll put them on Instagram. Don't forget our Patreon, Ed.
Patreon.com/thehighgain.
That's us.
Okay.
And
as always, we are proud members of the Ruinous Media Network of music-related podcasts.
Nailed it.
Oh my God. First time? Didn't drop a word? Didn't stutter?
You completely nailed it.
I'm going out on a high this week.
Okay.
We'll come back next week.
Okay, great.
All right.
I look forward to it.
All right, cool.
Okay, bye.
Bye, Ed.